All right, welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Always ready. What fascinating corner of linguistics are we exploring today?
Well, get this. We're going deep on something we all use every single day, but probably never think twice about: consonant sounds.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Consonants, huh? There's definitely a lot to unpack there. Which ones are we focusing on?
Specifically, plosives.
Plosives. Oh, this is gonna be good. Explosions of sound. I love it.
See, I told you, it's way more interesting than it sounds at first. And once you learn about them, you start hearing them everywhere.
Absolutely. And that's what's so cool about this deep dive. Once you understand the mechanics of these sounds, it really changes the way you listen to language.
Exactly. So you're the expert here. Let's start with the basics, just in case someone out there is new to this whole thing. What makes a plosive? Well, plosive.
All right, imagine this. You're about to say a word, but you completely block the airflow in your mouth, build up all this pressure, and then, pah! Haha, pretty much. You release it with a burst of air. That's the plosive action. That's what gives them that crisp percussive quality.
Okay, I'm with you. So it's that sudden release of air that's the key.
Exactly. And in English, we have six main plosive sounds that we use all the time.
Six. All right, lay them on me.
All right. Let's start with a sound you definitely know. Think of the letter P as in party. Phonetically, we represent it with the symbol P.
Party. Love a good party. Okay, so P is our first plosive.
It is, and it's everywhere. Think about how you form the sound. Your lips press together, you build up air, and then release it with that characteristic puff. You can feel it, right?
Absolutely. It's like a tiny explosion in your mouth.
Perfect analogy. Now, can you think of some other words with that P sound just to get a feel for how versatile it is?
Let's see. Pineapple, happy, clap. Oh, and plosive itself.
Excellent. You're catching on quick. You've got P at the beginning of words, in the middle, even at the end. It's a busy sound.
It really is. And I know P has a close relative, right? From the research I did to prep for this deep dive, I remember something about B being connected to P somehow.
You're right on the money. B, as in balloon, is the voiced counterpart to P, and it's all about the vocal cords.
Oh, here we go. Vocal cords, the magic ingredient.
Exactly. So remember that bursting forth we talked about? With P, it's just air being released, but with B, your vocal cords are vibrating, buzzing during that burst. Go ahead, try it. Say balloon and feel your throat.
Whoa, I can totally feel it. It's like this subtle hum that kicks in with the B.
You got it. It's such a small difference, but it completely changes the sound. And this distinction, this voicing, is crucial for understanding how we produce and perceive these sounds. Think about it. Babies learning language have to pick up on these tiny differences. Mastering these subtle contrasts is a big part of developing clear speech, and it plays a huge role in accents, too.
Wow, that makes so much sense. Okay,
Yeah.
P and B, checked off our list. What's next?
All right, let's move a bit further back in the mouth. Our next stop is T, as in tomato. The phonetic symbol for this one is T.
Tomato, a classic. So how do we make that perfect T sound?
This time, it's all about the tongue. You press the tip of your tongue against that ridge just behind your upper teeth. You can feel it if you try, and then release the air with a burst.
Tongue action for T. Okay, got it. And I bet you're going to tell me that D, like dinosaur, is its voice buddy.
You are on a roll today. You're absolutely right. D, or D phonetically, is the voiced version of T. Same tongue placement, but you engage those vocal cords again.
Ah, the vocal cords are back. I'm really starting to understand this whole voicing thing now.
And that's awesome because this concept of voicing is essential across so many languages. It's one of the fundamental ways we create and distinguish sounds.
Okay, so we've got these dynamic duos, P and B, then T and D, two pairs down, two to go.
You got it. Are you ready to venture to the back of the mouth?
Bring it on.
All right. Next up is K, as in kangaroo. Phonetically, we write that as K. And this is where things get a little guttural.
Guttural sounds intense.
Not too intense, I promise. But it does involve the back of your tongue. You're going to raise the back of your tongue to touch the soft palate. That's the soft part at the back of the roof of your mouth. Then you release the air.
Okay, back of the tongue action for K.
Yeah,
Got it.
yeah.
And I'm sensing a pattern here. So the voiced counterpart to K would be.
You're too good at this. You're absolutely right. G, as in guitar, is our final voice plosive represented by the symbol G.
Guitar, what a great way to illustrate that sound. I can practically hear the music now.
Haha, I like that. So, to recap, we've got our six main plosives in English: P, B, T, D, K, and G. And the key difference between each pair is that voicing, whether those vocal cords are vibrating or not.
You explained that perfectly. But I gotta be honest, K and G always trip me up a little more than the others. I feel like sometimes they can sound so similar, especially when I hear different accents.
That's a great observation. And you're right, K and G can be tricky. Because they're produced further back in the mouth, there's more variation in how people pronounce them. The placement of the tongue, the amount of air released, it all contributes to how we perceive these sounds.
So accents play a big role here.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If someone learns a language where K and G are produced slightly differently, they might carry over those subtle variations into their English pronunciation.
So that's why sometimes it can be hard to understand certain accents.
Mm-hmm.
Because their plosives are a bit off from what we're used to.
Exactly. And it all comes back to those tiny details in how we produce and perceive these sounds. It really highlights how important these seemingly simple sounds are, not just for clear speech, but for understanding the diversity of languages across the world.
I'm honestly blown away. I had no idea there was so much complexity hidden in these everyday sounds. It's like we've uncovered this secret code of language.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole world of phonetics and phonology out there just waiting to be explored.
Well, for our listeners out there, I hope this deep dive has inspired you to start listening to language in a whole new way. Pay attention to those P, B, P, K, and G sounds. Try them out. Feel the difference between the voiced and voiceless pairs. It's a fun little exercise.
It is. And here's something to think about. Next time you're chatting with someone who has a different accent, really listen to how they're producing those plosive sounds. You might be surprised by what you notice.
That's such a great point. Accents are fascinating, and now I have a whole new way to appreciate them, thanks to you.
My pleasure. Always happy to spread the love of language.
So everyone, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Until next time, keep listening, keep exploring, and keep those plosives popping.